This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. We just spent some time rethinking the safety and business model of America's favorite sport. But the biggest rethink the game of football ever had may have come in 1963, when a rash young CBS producer invented the instant replay. Here to tell us how it happened and how instant replay revolutionized how we watch the game is freelance writer Anna Clark. She profiled Tony Verna's biggest contribution to sports history for Pacific Standard Magazine. Anna Clark, thanks for joining us.
I'm very happy to be here.
Anna, give us a little context here of the game and the play that was first instantly replayed thanks to Tony Verna, who you write about. Pretty significant time, pretty significant game. What happened?
Sure. It took place on December 7th, 1963, which, of course, as we know, was a pretty significant moment in American history. This was, just a couple weeks after Kennedy's assassination, when live political news was gluing American audiences to their televisions. And of course, soon after Kennedy's assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald had been shot on live television, and baffled audiences and news directors were in a position to, have to wait for many long minutes while stations tried to patch together a replay of the clip to just even see what had happened, because it was so confusing. So that had happened, and also just the national sadness for that this whole traumatic incident was the shadow hanging over this huge rivalry football game that had been postponed and was now being played on December 7th. So Army and Navy were taking the field with a fair amount of emotion and excitement about the game as well. There's 100,000 people at the there in Merchant Stadium. There was a lot of people watching at home. It turned out to be a very exciting game. Navy was one of the best teams in the nation. They were going to go on and play for the national championship. They were led by quarterback Roger Staubach, who just won the Heisman Trophy. And Tony Verna was spending this broadcast trying to get a great instant replay clip of Staubach, the hero of the game, one of the heroes of the season. And it kept fumbling. It kept not quite working with the machines, the technology, other issues. And it wasn't until the fourth quarter, when Army scored a touchdown, that I was able to finally air the instant replay clip.
Tell us a little bit about this character of Tony Verna, who does sound like quite a character from your profile.
He very much is. I think it's, first of all, important to know that he's very intelligent. He's very, he's accomplished a great deal in his life. He's also, as he's grown older, become very eccentric and very interested in telling the story of how he changed sports and television forever.
But how hard was it to pull off instant replay back then? This is before the advent of digital technology. Was he cutting tape back there with a razor blade?
Oh, my goodness. It was extremely complicated. There's a reason it had never been done before he tried it. At the time, people had experimented with replay before, but usually because of the big machines you had to use, because of the actual physical film you were working with, the soonest you could show a replayed clip was maybe 15 minutes or so after the game.
So how'd Tony do it?
Well, he had to be sneaky. He did not have the permission to do this. The way he tells it to me, that the network would have wanted to do a lot more research on the how to do instant replay, the value of it, so on. They would have wanted to, as he says, have it be an idea that came out of the higher-ups at the company rather than him, a production guy. So what he did is he had to basically heist some of the best equipment that the network had, which would have been kept in Grand Central Station. He hauled it to the game in Philadelphia, and he spent the entire game trying to figure out how to get the clip to work. They had the camera trained on Roger Staubach, but every time they tried to get it together, there was some clip from what had been previously on the film, because they reused film frequently to save space and money and so on. This high quality film that they were using had I Love Lucy and some soap commercials on it. Right? So every time they'd try to do a clip, they're like, all right, we got it. And they'd play it back to just make sure before they air it. And there would be, Lucille Ball, just suddenly
doing
showing
something
up,
wacky.
Right? Just wouldn't make no sense. So it didn't work until the fourth quarter before he was able to pull it off once, but it made a powerful impression.
So I Love Lucy aside, how did people and players react at the time seeing this instant replay?
It was very confusing because nobody knew that this was something to even expect. So the announcers, you know, narrating the game weren't quite sure how to narrate it, and viewers at home weren't quite sure what to make of it either. So if you're watching this game at home, you see Army score, and maybe you're an Army fan, maybe you're very excited about it. It's terrific. And then a second later, you see Army score once again, and then you're like, oh my God, did they just take the lead? And it got even more confusing when Army went for a 2-point conversion and again ran into the end zone. And so a lot of people at home were very confused about what was going on, even though the announcers were trying to help people out by assuring them Army did not score again. This is not live. This is a replay.
Well, you just mentioned people watching at home. We've become used to instant replay. How has it changed the way that we watch and even play sports?
Profoundly. I mean, it's become embedded in the game, you know? I mean, it's instant replay isn't just like something that's a trick of television for the advantage of those of us watching at home. It's literally changed the rules with replay reviews, with our expectation for what counts as fair and what doesn't. You know, I think it's brought a level of precision to our expectations for what we see that would have been unfathomable years ago. You know, sports fans 50 years ago weren't in a position to be like constantly replaying a clip to see if it was actually holding or not. You know, it was enough to generally get the gist, you know, and other sports have to a certain point or another ultimately come to embrace it as well. Even baseball, which is notorious for never, ever changing its rules. Mm-hmm. It's changed its rules 3 times since the dead ball era, and one of them is to bring in replay review by managers starting the season.
Well, what do you think referees think? Now they have a whole different standard that they are judged by.
Right. It's a very different game for officials as well. And college football started bringing in instant replay in about 10 years ago. And officials at the time, from those I was talking to, were very wary. You know, like they had a job to do. Most of them really do want to be as fair as possible. They love the game. They just, you know, just care about, you know, making sure it's a good experience for the players and the fans and so on. And they're really nervous about bringing in this other element. It could be very embarrassing to them. Some of them were worried about other officials on their crew maybe slacking off because they didn't have to try as hard to get it right because the camera could just catch it. There's a lot of nervousness about it. But once, you know, it slowly started getting integrated in the game, most officials ended up really loving it, embracing it, because they found out that replay review affirmed that they were right most of the time. You know, like officials actually do a very good job. And on the occasion when they do screw it up, they now have the opportunity to have that corrected, which most of them are actually glad for. They don't want to be like 2 weeks later, you know, like being haunted by some influential missed call, right?
Tony joked to you that his tombstone will say, son of Italian immigrants invented instant replay. But he isn't really a household name. Do you think the public has given Tony enough respect for his contribution to the game?
I think that it's true that like almost nobody does know his name. And those who do tend to be very much insiders, you know. And I do think he deserves credit for being able to put this together. Because, again, it was not easy. I mean, nowadays, you know, we have TiVo and all high definition technology, and it's much, much quicker. At the time, it really was a complicated feat to pull together, and he did it because he simply wanted to have a better broadcast. You know, he had a bit of a visionary in him for like why the broadcast of sports was really mattered, and that it could grow beyond what it was in 1963. And as we know, televised sports is huge, huge today. Had a huge impact on the growth of sports, especially football. And I feel like it took people taking risks like he did to make that so.
Anna Clark, freelance writer and contributor to Pacific Standard. Now you've made all of us insiders. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Anna wrote about Tony Verna and the invention of instant replay. And you can read that article. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org. That's all the time we have for Word of Mouth today. We are so grateful for your listening time. And there is plenty more to come in our month-long series, Rethink 2014. Next week, we're going to hear some intriguing new ways of approaching relationships and personal as well as sexual intimacy. Along with that, an interesting challenge to the idea of America as superpower. What if, instead of lamenting the nation's slipping status as a global economic and military and innovation giant, we could consider the benefits of being a humble number two? Tune in for that conversation and let us know if there's something you think is ripe for a rethink. Let us know on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or on Twitter at Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. There are so many great ideas being passed around Word of Mouth. We'll be back with more next week on NHPR and online anytime at wordofmouthradio.org.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Zach Nugent,
and senior producer Maureen McMurray.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR,
its board of trustees,
or its underwriters. Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.